I'd like to welcome you to my talk about particle-based labeling. And as you heard before, there's not only the question how to generate labels, but also to place them. And so the following talk will be about placing labels. And so I'd like to clarify some terms here I use in my talk. The first one is point feature. And point feature has nothing to do with feature visualization or point-based visualization. The point feature is a term from computational cartography and means a zero-dimensional point only described with its coordinates. And so the labeling problem means that we have a label that we want to place near these point features that are approximated with rectangular label boxes. And we want to do that without any occlusion of labeling. Of labels, and this is a labeling problem, and this labeling problem is NP-hard. So there's many research in this area. And so I start with the labeling needs for visualization, and I'd like to summarize them somehow. In labeling, we have visualization is very interactive, and so we have some special needs for the visualization, and the first one is that we have a real-time interaction or an interaction at interactive frame rates. So there are some labeling techniques known currently that work somehow like that. So you are interacting, and then you can have some coffee break, and then you can some interaction. But that what we really want is something like that, interaction, and when we finish our work, we will have our coffee break. So the next point is that we do not want any pre-processing. There are many approaches in literature that are fast, but they need an expensive pre-processing step. We don't want that because in visualization, pre-processing also means that we have an instantaneous change of data sources, and so there is no time for any pre-processing. The next is a classical one. We don't want any label conflicts, so no occlusion of labels. This is just because of legibility reasons. And the next one is that we do not want any conflict between labels and visual objects. And in visualization, it means no conflict of label and our data, because in generally our data is more important than the labels. And you see this one, and we wanted something like that. The next one is we do not want any constraints to our labeling. You saw this before. There are some classical mapping strategies for labels, and but there are some fast approaches in labeling that have constraints like a fixed label size, and it would be something like that. That we have several labels of different importance, but if we could use the size, it would look like that. And so we do not want any constraints to our labels. So on the last one I'd like to mention here is that we want to have a global labeling solution. There are some approaches giving us a local labeling solution, but if we have a large data space where we want to navigate through, that means that we have a lot of interaction, and we heard something about interaction cost in the last day. And so what we want is something like that. So we make a fast global labeling solution that minimizes our interaction costs. And by the way, if we have a global solution, we can minimize it to a local solution, but it's very hard to do the other way around. And so these are the labeling needs we have in visualization. So let's come to our particle-based approach. As I mentioned before, there are several, there are over 300 labeling papers in literature. And if you're interested in related work, you can visit this website and for an overview. So let's come to our particle-based labeling. This is an outline of the following slides. And I start with the labeling pipeline, the basic concept of our particle-based labeling. So we give point features to our labeling pipeline, and we start with the first common technique. It's a for position model. That means that there's a point feature and we check those four positions. There are preferences known from cartography for labeling such features. So the majority of labels are now labeled, and we now take those point features that are not labeled yet and pass them to the next pipeline step. It's a labeling with the 8-position model, and since we use the first four positions of the 8-position model, we only check position 5, 6, 7, and 8, and these are more complex in computation because we have a mathematical division in the inside there. And after that, we pass the left labels to the next pipeline step, the 4-slider model. It's computational more complex. And after the step, we can summarize that we checked all adjacent label positions for a point feature. So there's nothing left here. And so we introduced something new. We call it the distant labeling. That means that we are looking for empty space nearby our point feature we want to label, and therefore we use a space sampling function. In our case, we use a spiral, and this looks like that. This is computational, very complex, and if we find a solution, we will connect the point feature and the label with a connecting line to show affiliation, and in general, we are able to label nearly 100% or 100% of the point features with this technique. As you may noticed or recognized, we are discriminating the labels according to their appearance in the labeling pipeline. So the first labels we put into the pipeline are preferred to get an adjacent labels, whereas the last ones passed to this pipeline are endangered to get a distant label. So we use this simply sort our labels, and so we are able to distribute the available screen space according to the importance of our labels. And so the most important one are labels first, and the least significant are labeled at the end of all. So let's come to another notice you may take. This one, the complexity rises within our approach, and the number of processed labels decreases, and therewith we have a very high, a very short processing time for a huge amount of labels. So let's come to the particle-based part of our particle-based labeling. We use a label position, and this one is accepted if there is no conflict particle within the rectangular area of this label position. So we distinguish two kinds of particles, conflict particles, label particles that represent other point features, and the virtual particles that represent occupied space. So in this example, you can see that only the green label position is acceptable due to conflict particles within the other label positions. And instead of using rectangular intersection tests that are normally necessary in labeling, we can use a simple comparison of coordinates of the rectangular area and particles nearby. So let's assume that we found a valid label position, and now we have to guarantee that this label position is not included in future. So we introduce some additional virtual particles by sampling the rectangular area with the minimum, global minimum label width and height, so we can guarantee that no small label or something like that will fit into this rectangular area. And finally, we want to prevent extensive tests with all particles, so we use a local neighbor data structure that gives us only those particles that may be affected by our current label position. And the grid resolution is the maximum label width and label height to reduce expensive memory access. So And generally, that's all. So this is all we need for a very fast labeling. And so I'd like to summarize for one point feature within the first labeling pipeline step. So we only check the four label positions here. So we start with the first one, ask grid for point feature for particles that may be affected by this label position. So these are these ones, we check them, get a conflict, take the next label position, ask for particles, check them, reject the position, take the next one, ask the grid, and find a valid position. So we use this one, and this would be the results, and now to prevent future occlusion, we introduce further virtual particles. And this we do with this, we repeat for every point feature, and we have done it for all point features. After that, we try the next pipeline step. So, as I mentioned before, we can use virtual particles to represent occupied space, and now there's a question how to model our visual objects and how to get the occupied space of these objects. So we have two approaches for this. The first one is the image-based approach. We use our image, and the only constraint is that there is a constant background color. We call it empty space color. And now we use the scanline algorithm, and everywhere where the color is not equal to the empty space color, we simply introduce some virtual particles, and therewith we can guarantee that no label is occluding our visual objects. The other approach is a vector-based approach, but similar, we use the vector graphics and sample them in their own coordinates, and this is more precise and faster than the image-based approach, but the image-based approach is more flexible to different visualization techniques. So in both cases, we are not able to place any label there. The next point is that we generally talk about zero-dimensional point features, but in real life, these point features are not zero-dimensional. There are some dots or icons, and they have an extent like width and height. And so we have to think about how to label those features, and we call them simply arbitrarily shaped features because we can also handle lines and all that. You see here in again, the image-based approach, we use this visual feature we want to label. We simply place a label particle within that area, and after that, together with the conflict particles, we have. We cannot use any adjacent labeling for this point feature, and after that, our distant labeling finds a solution nearby this feature. And due to the short distance, we can omit the connecting line, and so this visual feature is labeled. And the vector-based approach, there we exchange our virtual particles with labeling particles, and so the occlusion freeness is guaranteed. And by the way, we get several labeling positions for this one, and if one of them is successful, the other labels are omitted, and that's how we do labeling arbitrarily shaped objects. Moreover, we are able, our approach is such flexible that we are able to place arbitrarily shaped labels. That means we can not that we are not restricted to rectangular areas. We can also label with labels like that. The only thing we have to do is we have to exchange the acceptance test I showed you before, the particle within the rectangular area. But by exchanging this test, it's becoming more slow, and but it's possible to do that with our approach. So let's talk about performance. Our approach is as fast as the fastest non-preprocessing methods, and those methods are generally working with constraints like a fixed height or a fixed label size in both dimensions. So we are able to label 700, this is a benchmark data tests. We did 700 point features within 4 milliseconds, 1,000 point features within 10 milliseconds, and so on. And even in stress tests with 100,000 point features or 200,000 point features, we are within or about 1 second. And this is faster than the fastest methods, and all this done on a standard desktop PC without any GPU implementation, or it's all done on a single core, and it's really fast. And the other fact to mention is the labeling quality. So we are able to place nearly 100% or 100% of labels, this is enabled with our adjacent labels, because there are situations of very dense clusters where adjacent labels wouldn't work at all, and only our distant labels are able to place some labels there, but the majority of our labels are adjacent labels. So I'd like to show you a short demo and a video. Let's start with the demo on this very slow netbook here. As you see here, this is labeling every frame, although nothing changes. You may see it now here. Everything is interactive. And so I'll give you some more. So this is an artificial point set where this function is moving through, and this is a moving point features, and this is labeled in real time, you can see here. And the flickering and popping artifacts are only there where the scene changes, and everywhere else this is very constant, and this is due to the fact that our labeling is deterministic in all stages. So if you want to see here the virtual particles, the blue ones, and yeah, this is a demo. And now let's come to a video for application examples. So this is a labeling of a 3D scene, but this is a native labeling of placing labels right to the point feature. The good labeling comes next. So this is worse, and this is our labeling. No point feature is occluded, and no label occludes each other. This is a benchmark data set, the German railway stations, and within the lens there are virtual particles, so the lens is not occluded by any label. They are shown soon with here, you can see them. So we have flickering effects, but I talk about them the next slides. This is a graph layout, a random graph layout. No edge is occluded and no node is occluded. This is standard graphics. We are labeling a little bit faster than real time. The video is faster than. But all this done on a standard desktop PC, and this is all the example I showed you before. This is capturing of the desktop PC. So, sorry, you should not see that. This is the next video. I'll show you soon, but then. Okay, so the demo. So let's summarize the results of our work. We fulfill all these needs in visualization, but while doing our research, we discovered one more, and this is no clutter. And as you saw before, there are popping artifacts, and the distant labels introduce some additional lines that may be distracting. And so our future work is concerning about that, and it will include the reduction of popping labels and distant labels. And the reduction of popping labels we already handled, and we try to put it here as a poster. And I show you soon in the next video how that looks like. So there are also the idea of successive refinements. So actually, we are labeling every frame. So if you're interacting, every frame of your interaction is labeled from scratch. So the idea is to use different labeling pipelines for different labeling solutions and to merge them, and therefore we only omit some frames in between. So let's say we only labeling every fifth frame, and that's it. And then let's mix that different solutions. Maybe we can reduce distant labels by that. And the next one is we'd like to embed further cartographic knowledge for better labeling solutions. And so I'd like to thank you, but I thank you, and I show you another video you can see here. And this is about the popping reduction of that labeling. And so again, thank you. So if you're interested in this software, you can come to me and we can talk about hints of re-implementing this stuff and so on. Okay.
So the label you show is kind of a one-line label. What if the label is really long, you have to chop into multiple lines?
Like a so we
bigger label, kind of like a more complex labels.
Yeah, it's, as we said, it's not constrained anyhow. So we can use a bounding box of that, we can handle that. So this is zooming.
I have a strange question. When I read particle in your title, the first thing that I thought was particle filtering for localization, the work that is being done in robotics. And it's it includes stuff like Monte Carlo methods and a lot of the statistics for finding a way around basically a static structure, a static space.
Yep.
You can imagine your problem being more complex than that. You have a dynamic space. But could you, and again, this is a weird question just because of the word particle in your filter, yeah, in your title, but could you imagine doing something like that for a dynamic environment? And I think the computational complexity would be really high, but
this is really all this is dynamic.
So I know your work is dynamic. My question is more stochastic work, so like particle filtering, the work that is. And I don't know if you're familiar with the work in robotics. In terms of
you mean to give something background to the particles, and the particles are acting themselves or something like that?
So particle filtering, a very short description is you lay out a uniform distribution over the world, and as you get sensor data, and this is robotics, but you would get measurements of distance, you start figuring out what the map of the world is. And in our world, the maps are static. In this world, the maps are dynamic. So that would be the difference.
Yeah. So, yeah.
it's a far-out question.
We did not think about something like that until now.
Hi, I'm Shi Xia. An interesting job. I noticed in your work to prevent the occlusions in labeling, you, instead of using the traditional bounding box-based method, actually you introduced a new concept, the virtual particles. So could you let me know the major consideration on this? You know, for the traditional bounding box-based method, I think for occlusion testing, only 8 comparisons are needed. So I want to know your major consideration to introduce such kind of a virtual particle to test the occlusion.
I did not get the question, really.
You know, there are some overlap testing in the text labels.
Yeah.
I noticed to avoid such kind of label overlap, you introduce the virtual particle concept.
Yeah.
But I think the traditional bounding box method could also use to solve this problem, and the computation is very...
Okay, now get your point. Mm-hmm. We can also do that with rectangles, and we can do it fast. And so There are some approaches. As I mentioned before, there are norm preprocessing approaches last year by Kevin Moti, for example. But there are strict constraints to be fast if they use rectangles. So, and besides that, the rectangles are not very flexible for to approximate polygonal areas and something like that. So the particles are more flexible for different tasks, and there is also the space management techniques that use rectangles to guarantee that there's no occupation, no overlapping of rectangular areas, but they are very slow, and so this one was our approach, and it's flexible and fast, and so we did use that.
We
know of the rectangular approaches.
I see. MFS. So you choose this method for flexibility and performance.
Yeah.
But actually, I think for the performance, you know, for the bounding box based method, I think it's not very complex to apply. You know, it's just eight comparison for each overlap testing. So I don't think it costs very much.
No, not that's. It doesn't cost much to do rectangular intersection tests, but we are not that flexible. We cannot use different label shapes. We cannot use with this very high approximation. We can do it with visual particles. So this is the fact why we use this.